Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Good morning to all listeners from around the world. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran. I'm your presenter for the next hour. And straightly, we go to the interesting facts about Islam. During the Golden Age of Islam, Muslims created a House of Wisdom, or Baitul Hikmah, which was active during the 9th and 13th century, where both Muslims and non-Muslims scholars sought to translate the world's knowledge into Arabic. Many classic works of antiquity that might have otherwise been lost were preserved in Arabic and Persian and later translated into Turkish, Hebrew, and Latin. Here, scholars synthesized and significantly advanced knowledge gained from the Persian, Roman, Chinese, Egyptian, Greek, Byzantine and Phoenician civilizations. Muslim scholars like Ibn Rushd and Avicenna were primarily responsible for saving the works of prominent Greek philosopher Aristotle. We start this hour's lineup with our radio productions feature. After that, we have Q&A on Islamic beliefs. This program provides answers to listeners' questions about Islamic beliefs. Then it is time for Gate of Knowledge. The program explains the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings in the Nahjul Balagha.
Baluchistan is populated by over 9,000 villages. The village of Ghalanor dates back to the Qajar period, and since this area isn't prone to earthquakes, the adobe houses have managed to survive for about 150 years. Isn't that amazing?
About 40 kilometers from the city of Zabul, this village was originally built on top of a hill and witnessed the migration of the villages of Old Fort. In fact, that's where it gets its name, Ghalanor, which means new fort. Ghalanor was built on high ground to protect its occupants from flood, since the varying amount of the flowing water of the Hamul River has always caused different problems for the people living in the Sistan Basin. But that's not the only thing the architects of this village had up their sleeves. During the Qajar period in the 18th and 19th centuries, different regions were managed by overlords or khans. The most eye-catching structure here is the two-story adobe castle of the Khan of the region. It was built at the entrance of the village and around a small hill, so the top of the hill is the floor of the second story. The village is currently being restored and is going to be turned into an eco-tourism village. Kilometers from Ghalanor lies a mysterious and ancient city referred to over the past 200 to 300 years as Dahani Ghulaman, or gateway of the slaves. Dahani Ghulaman is the largest Achaemenian site in the entire eastern section of Iran that has been dated back to between the 4th and the 6th century BC. More importantly, it's the only Achaemenid site that may hold within its depths the secrets of the lifestyle of the ordinary people living at that time. Built in the wilderness, away from the imperial capital, even with the alignment of buildings roughly in a straight line, running southwest to northeast along the edge of water supplies, the site was only inhabited for a brief period of a century or a century and a half, and was abandoned as a result of natural forces that have always determined the survival and migration of urban settlements in the arid region of Sistan.
The entire site was covered by sand. After it was dug up about 50 years ago in the 1960s, the layout of this ancient city was studied extensively by archaeologists from around the world. And it seems that they all came to a similar conclusion. The precise architecture and great harmony in the design of Dahani Ghulaman suggests that it was built with urban planning in mind about 2,500 years ago.
Geometric studies on this site have revealed 27 major structures and an additional 23 buildings, most of which have not yet been unearthed. It was believed that the Achaemenids used architectural plans only in the construction of palaces and important buildings, such as the royal residences of Pasargadae, Persepolis, Susa, as well as Dasht Gohar. But it seems that the people of Dahani Ghulaman even prepared an architectural plan for the construction of their alleys and ordinary houses. The urban planning, the architecture, the temple, the location and size of what remains of this ancient city have led scholars to believe that it was a satrapal capital or something very similar to it in character. Studies into the origins of the hearths, fireplaces and altars have tried to reveal their purpose since they have a unique architecture. Were they used for animal sacrifices since animal blood was found on the altars? What kind of rituals were performed here? All these studies have tried to find answers to the many questions that arose 40 years ago with the unearthing of the site and have never been completely answered, even to this day. Standing atop the nearby hill that gives you an overview of the site, you can see lakes filled with a considerable amount of water around it.
The Chaimime reservoirs in the south of Zabul are three big lakes that are the second most important water storage reservoirs in the region. The water stored in these big lakes is used to irrigate the Sistan Plain and to provide drinking water for the cities of Zabul and Zahedan.
Trees were planted all around the lakes by the University of Zabul to prevent dust from falling into the water. This is Golnar Farnoudi for Iran.
Behind this beautiful old wooden door lies an ancient civilization, a wealth of cultural, artistic, and religious jewels that portray the civilization of a nation.
The Qom Astana Museum, located in the city of Qom, right near the holy shrine of Fatima Masuma, sister of Imam Riza, opened up its doors to the public back in 1935. The museum has an area of 1,000 square meters with two floors hosting two exhibition halls. more than 1,000 artifacts and objects of artistic, cultural and historical value are displayed here. These treasures belong to different periods in history, from the 1st and 2nd millennium BC to the Islamic era in the country. The museum displays a wide range of objects and artifacts, varying from paintings, chinaware, ceramics and pottery to priceless handmade rugs, glassware and precious Qurans.
Museum near to the shrine of Fatima Masura. It's wonderful to look around this museum, particularly to look at the carpet, beautiful carpet, and with the silk beautifully designed. And also I look around some other places to look at the Quran, the oldest Quran from the 9th century to the present time. It's amazing to keep those kind of like traditional symbolic teachings of Prophet Muhammad.
The crown jewel of Iran's handicraft industry is its beautiful handmade rugs and carpets. Excavations in Iran have revealed that this art dates back to the 1st and 2nd millennium BC. The treasured silk rugs in this museum are valuable for their extraordinary designs, rich combination of colors, and excellent texture. One of the main features of Islamic architecture is the gorgeous glazed tiles that decorate the interior and exterior of the buildings. This art form reached new heights during the 14th century when the Timurid Empire ruled the country. The oldest tiles in this museum belong to the Seljuk era, some 12 centuries ago.
Where do you think beautiful doors opened up to? There must have been a beautiful heaven behind these doors that inspired the artist to create wonders on these beautiful creations.
The decorated doors displayed here date back to different time periods, but all adorned beautifully with different artistic techniques. Some are decorated with the art of marquetry, wood inlaying and wood carving with delicate pieces of ivory, bone, brass, gold and silver sections. Others are made with metal, embellished with inscriptions written by the best calligraphers of the time.
Size isn't really an issue when it comes to narrating history. Some items here in this museum are quite small in size, but great and precise narrators that reveal historical facts.
Museums are the spiritual and cultural treasures of a nation that clearly display the wisdom, intelligence, and artistic abilities of the past generations. These jewels are ever eternal. Hoda Lezgi for Iran.
Say that love strikes only once, that precious moment I offer you. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Possess, I offer you. I wanna be someone whom you can trust. Come save us from a world that's so unjust. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon? Where is the
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering your doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
الله هو ذا الرحمن الله هو ذا المنان لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. You might find it Q&A on Islamic Beliefs in our website, iranradio.ir. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
In the 12 Shia Imams, the belief in imamate is a fundamental article of faith, and it is believed by them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected or appointed 12 imams. So why were the imams appointed, and why number 12 was selected for them? Some people might say it has roots in the religions before Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, this and that companion of these prophets were 12 or so. So is it true? If yes, why? If no, why?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni, agree that when it comes to prophethood, it's not something decided by the people. I mean, the prophets are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not something left to the people to, for example, vote for different candidates and then choose a prophet. And the reason is that a person who is going to be a prophet, he needs to have some criteria, some features, when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to righteousness, which, I mean, we call it Isma, infallibility. So these features are only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it is only God who appoints people as the prophets. According to the Shia, the same philosophy, the same reason applies to imamate.
Right.
So the imams are going to continue the main responsibility of the prophet that is guiding the people after the demise of the prophet. So the imams are also, need to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not even the personal decision of the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet is introducing Imam Ali alayhi salam as he is instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhar rasul ballagh ma unzila ilayk. The verse which is related to Ghadir Khum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the prophet says that, O prophet, preach what was revealed to you, which
yes.
means that appointment of Imam Ali alayhi salam is something commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So that is why, as I mentioned, the features of the imams, for example, regarding knowledge,
yes.
regarding infallibility, people have no idea about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that people can decide about.
We have Quranic reference.
Yeah, sure.
That Prophet Muhammad selected Imam Ali alayhi salam based on divine order. Qadir Khum even took
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
So many ayahs of the Quran. Ayatul Ikmal is over there. Today
exactly.
I have completed your religion, you know, and so many other things.
Yeah.
So... That was just a starting point. I mean, not only Ali was selected, but also the successors of Imam Ali too.
Yeah, so as for the question why they are selected by God, as
mm-hmm.
I mentioned, the same philosophy that all Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni,
okay.
say regarding the prophets, the same applies to imamate, and this is the Shia understanding of imamate, which is very much different from caliphate in
yes.
our Sunni brothers' viewpoint.
Okay.
Now, about the number of 12, first of all, I think the same question can be mentioned about the number of the prophets. So the famous idea is that we have had 124,000 prophets. Why this number? Why not more, not less? Or, for example, we have 114 surahs of the Quran. Why this number?
All right.
Or, the number of the verses. The number of, the prayers, why we have 5 daily prayers,
mm-hmm.
why morning prayer is 2 rakah, not 3, why Dhuhr rakah is not 5.
We do not still know the exact reason.
Yeah, so first of all, we cannot say for sure about
yes.
the main reasons for all these numbers. And if any number is mentioned, the same question can, be raised. So imagine if the imams were 14. One person might say that, why 14, not 12?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first point, that for any number, the same question can be raised. But the main answer given to this question is that the number of 12 is explicitly mentioned in the both Shia and Sunni narrations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that I'm adding Sunni next to the Shia. Yes, we have some Sunni narrations in the collections of hadith of our Sunni brothers and scholars, that this number of 12 is mentioned, and I will share some of them. So when we, as Shia, we do believe in 12 imams, it is because of the fact that it is mentioned in authentic narrations in both Shia and Sunni sources. Our dear listeners can, for example, refer to Usul al-Kafi, Volume 1, Kitab al-Hujjah, a chapter on Hujjah, Divine Proof. So let me share some narrations from Sunni sources. The Prophet says, "Inna hadha al-amr la yanqadi hatta yamdi fihim 12 khalifa." The religion of Islam will not come to its end until we will have, and you will have, 12 khalifa, 12 caliphs. Sahih Muslim, Volume 6, page 3. قال رسول الله لا يزال أمر الناس ماضيا ما وليهم 12 رجلا كلهم من قريش. Again, in this Prophet is referring to 12 rajulan, 12 men from Quraysh that will rule the people after him.
All right.
Sahih Muslim, again, Volume 3. And this notion is mentioned in many other narrations in Sunni sources in different versions, that the Prophet had mentioned that the religion of Islam will be firmed after him through 12 khalifa or 12 amiran and the similar wordings.
Yes.
So this number of 12 is mentioned in Sunni sources, and the Sunni scholars have tried their best to explain this number.
Okay.
What this number is referring to. Because we know that when it comes to Khulafa Rashidin that they believe in, there are only four, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not 12. If they are going to continue through the Umayyad caliphs, they are more than that.
Yes.
And among them, we have the most wicked people, like Yazid, for example.
Yes.
If we are going to talk about Banu Abbas, the Abbasid caliphs, again, they are more than 12. So there is, for Sunni scholars, this narration is mentioned, for example, in Sahih Muslim, in the most authentic books. On the other hand, the reality shows that there is no 12, according to their idea,
mm-hmm.
to apply this narration to. And the only way is the Shia viewpoint that these narrations are referring to 12 imams.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Is there another hadith we can say in which the very names of the imams is mentioned, Shaykh?
Yeah, there are some narrations. In this case, we are talking
Prophet Muhammad, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We have some narrations from Shia sources. I would like to share one of them, for example. When the verse 59 of chapter Nisa was revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا all the believers, أَتِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah, obey the Prophet, and ulil amr, those with vested with authority. So the companions of the Prophet, they say that we know Allah, we know al-Rasul, but who are ulil amr? This narration is mentioned by Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. And the Prophet says, Hum khulafai ya Jabir wa aimmatul muslimin min ba'di. O Jabir, these are my caliphs and the imams of the Muslims after me. Awwaluhum Ali ibn Abi Talib. This narration is one of the narrations in which the Prophet himself is referring to the imams, 12 imams, by names, one after the other. Thumma al-Hassan, thumma al-Husayn, thumma Ali ibn al-Husayn, thumma Muhammad ibn Ali al-Ma'ruf al-Tawrat bil-Baqir. The fifth is Muhammad ibn Ali, known as Baqir, satudrikuhu ya Jabir. O Jabir, you will see him, fa'idha laqitahu faqrahu minni as-salam. When you meet him, give my salam, greetings to him, and it happened. Later, Jabir narrates that I saw Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and I passed the salam of the Prophet. Thumma Sadiq, and the narration goes on to mention all the imams by names. The other point is that in some narrations, we are told that the number of the 12 imams is similar to other things. For example, to the number of the leaders of Banu Israel after the Prophet. The Prophet says, "Inna iddat al-khulafa ba'di iddatu nuqaba'i Musa." The number of the caliphs after me are the number of the nuqaba, naqib, the leaders of different tribes after the time of Musa alayhi salam. Or, for example, the number of the imams is the number of the month of the year. We have 12 months, so the same is true regarding the number of the imams.
All right.
After the Prophet. So these are just similarly mentioned in some narrations. And some narrations referring to the fact that, I mean, many other prophets, they had also 12 successors after them. So if I want to conclude, there might be some mysteries in this number of 12 that we are not aware of. But the point is that the main answer to this question is that we do believe in 12 imams because yes. This number is mentioned in the narrations of the Prophet, both recorded by Sunni scholars
yes.
and Shia scholars.
12 months we have in a year?
Yeah.
12 hours do we have, for example, in a clock, you know?
Yeah, what is mentioned in the narration, the simile is between like the 12, naqib, 12 leaders
yes.
in Banu Israel,
yes.
or 12 month
mm-hmm.
in a year. These are some similes mentioned
yes.
in the narrations to make sure that people understand that we have only 12 imams, mm-hmm. not more, not less. It's, unfortunately, today, among the false claimants of Mahdism, we have some people who preach the idea yes. of, for example, 24 imams.
There
no.
are.
As I mentioned, we do believe in 12 imams because the Prophet has mentioned, mm-hmm. and as I mentioned, even the names of the imams, one after the other, is mentioned by the Prophet. And okay. of course, the next yes. imams, also in many narrations, they have referred to this number. And that is why we believe in this. Although, as I mentioned, there must be some mysteries that we are unaware of.
That's right. And we are awaiting the 12th one, I mean Imam al-Mahdi. Sure. May Allah hasten his reappearance, sure. inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi. The secret behind the number 12, the appointment of 12 imams, and why the imams were appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of the program, and Sheikh Karimi. For more information, and also to download for free our other episodes, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayni wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayni wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min labani. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge, and this is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqavi. We are talking about the narrations of Imam Ali, the Master of the Faithful, as presented and compiled in the Nahjul Balagha. And in this episode, we are talking about this hadith where the importance of knowledge and etiquettes and good manners is mentioned. There are 3 points in this hadith. Al-ilmu virathatun karima. Hula Ali is saying, Al-ilmu virathatun karima. Wal-adabu hulalum mujaddada. Wal-fikru mir'atun safiya. There are three very important virtues that are mentioned in this narration, where the Master of the Faithful says, Al-ilmu virathatun karima. Knowledge, wisdom, is an inheritance. It is wealth which can be inherited, but it is of a very noble nature. It has a very high value. It is something which is venerated. There are many people who leave behind inheritances, estates, properties for their descendants, for their offsprings. But if they leave behind knowledge, as the Imams did, as the Holy Prophet did, their offspring, their descendants are the inheritors of their knowledge. And this inheritance is much more valuable and virtuous than any other thing that can be considered. So the first point is Al-ilmu virathatun karima. We shall continue in the next part.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, the Gate of Knowledge. We are discussing the narrations of Imam Ali, the short sayings, where he eloquently points out to different aspects of the human nature and the virtues of human nature and the properties and attributes that we have to adopt in our lives to achieve nobility in this world and the hereafter. So this narration was talking about al-ilmu virathatun karima. The first part is the value and the nobility of the virtue of knowledge. Then he says wal-adab hulalum mujaddada. One may have knowledge, but that must translate into good manners, in the way how we deal with people, how we deal with other people and even ourselves. And the etiquettes and the manners which we learn have to be adopted and they have to be implemented in our lives. And it is as if we are, every time we present ourselves in society with good manners, it is as though we are putting on new costumes and new dresses each time. And every time the people who are looking upon to us, they will find us in a new way, with a new costume on, with a new dress, and they will feel pleased with our actions. And the third part is wal fikru mir'atun safiya. This is also a very important aspect, that whenever we want to carry out something in this world, any program, any mission, any activity, we have to very much think about it before carrying out that action. We should look into the action, what are the reasons for the action or the activity or the project that we want to carry out. We have to thoroughly investigate the after effects, the causes and the results, the why and the how and the when. Therefore, وَالْفِكْرُ مِرْآةٌ سَافِيَةٌ. If we use the property that Allah Almighty has given us, the virtue of thinking, which is there in our minds, then it will be very clear, it will clearly shine up the path upon which we have to tread. So we shall continue in the next section and talk more about this narration.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, the Gate of Knowledge, and we are talking about and discussing the hadith or the saying of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam as compiled in Nahjul Balagha. And this narration is talking about three virtues: al-ilmu, wirathatun karima. As I said, this is important, a very important aspect. The most valuable thing that we have is knowledge. Then we have that knowledge has to translate into etiquettes and good manners and behavior, and it is as if we are adopting new clothing and new dresses. And the third one, as I mentioned in this hadith, is wal-fikr. Fikr is thinking, is meditating, contemplating about what we want to do, what the purpose of our lives is, how do we want to achieve that purpose, what is the real purpose of coming to this world, and how to engage in society, in this world, in such a way that we achieve salvation in this world and the hereafter. So, therefore he says, وَالْفِكْرُ مِرْآةٌ سَافِيَةٌ. So the thinking is a very clear mirror, and it reflects when we start thinking and meditating and using this quality, this attribute, we will be able to clearly demarcate and define our path towards salvation. So this is your host Sayyid Salman Naqavi saying goodbye, and we shall see you in the next episode of the Gate of Knowledge from IRIB English Radio.
مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه
Good morning to all our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran. We are very glad to have you with us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. And here are some interesting facts about Islam. Inventions that emerge from the Islamic world include the discovery of Critic acid, Jaber ibn Hayyan, architecture, the minaret, the bridge mill, the vertical axle windmill, teaching hospitals, marching bands, early torpedoes, the guitar, the lute, the water pipe, also known as hookah, early attempts at gliding, algebra, the pinhole camera, the laws of refraction of light in optic, coffee, and more. Muslim scholar Ibn Haytham, known as Al-Hazen in Europe, who was born in 965 AD, formulated the scientific method and has been referred to as the world's first true scientist. He is also often regarded as the first theoretical physicist, making a significant contribution to the theory of light and optics. Additionally, he developed what is called celestial mechanics, which led to the eventual work of Europeans such as Copernicus, Galileo, Johannes, Kepler, and Isaac Newton. You are listening to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start this hour's lineup with A to Z of Life. The program presents an Islamic Iranian lifestyle in a variety of ways, making use of the ayahs of the Holy Quran as well as inspirational poetry and stories. They will be followed by our varied radio productions feature. And we finish off this hour's programs with Muslim Lady, the quintessential radio program for Muslim women. The program deals with a variety of subjects in relation to Muslim women. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, visiting family. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z here on Iron British Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And look, the visiting family, so this is something that we we are advised to do just as a matter of, in a sense, routine anyway. So we need to keep in touch with our relatives, for sure. And we should also keeping in touch, in a sense, even with our friends and with our neighbors. So and that starts just with the little things such as just greeting, for example, our neighbors in the street. And technically, in Islam, we're advised that, you know, if we haven't heard from someone, I think it's like 3 days, or this is according to the Holy Prophet, then we should inquire after them because, you know, obviously maybe they've fallen ill or something is wrong. And obviously in our modern society, it's a bit different because, you know, we can keep in touch with people also, in a sense, virtually. We can send messages and have video calls. And, you know, maybe this three-day limit, I'm pretty sure that many people have sort of extended that to a bit more. But, you know, maybe we need to be a bit more proactive, you know, especially when we read about stories in some parts of the world, and we read this again and again, that people, not just old people, but people of varying ages, maybe something bad has happened to them, maybe they fell ill, maybe, they just suddenly, something bad happened even in their home, they were living on their own, maybe they had a heart attack or something else collapsed, and then they basically, you know, they're like that, and no one even finds them for weeks. And, you know, so when we as Muslims hear something like that, we think, well, this is not good. So from that point of view, you know, we should really be checking in on the people we know, people who are a bit closer to us every so often, so that we can, in a sense, pick up on needs that some of our friends or even neighbors have. So we do not have situations like that happening in our Muslim societies, for sure. Welcome back to 8:30 on Iron Wings Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And so I'm talking about this prerogative to visit family. And, you know, and I'm also talking about the prerogative to just care, be thinking about other people, be thinking about their needs, in a sense, predicting on their needs. And this is something that is said, especially the Ahl Bayt want this, they expect this from us, Shia especially. So we're not meant to just sort of sit back and sort of wait. And then if someone comes to us with a request or needing help, that we try to meet their needs. And, you know, to be honest, you know, sometimes we do have people asking us for help and we don't do anything about it. I suspect that we are very quick to say, oh, no, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that. Or we say we'll do it and we just don't, or maybe we even forget. But, you know, this is going beyond that. So that's just the very basic level. But the level that we need to really reach as Muslims, and for sure as Shia, is that we need to be thinking actively, look what's going on in other people's lives. And, you know, this is something I think I've talked about before. So, no, we cannot ignore our friends and not be in touch with them. We need to sort of check in on them actively every so often. But I also wanted to talk about just a little example from the life of one of the famous martyrs for Holland defense by the name of Sayyidjan Bozorgi. So he was very serious about visiting family. And this is a particular situation he'd arrived at in his life. So this was actually very close to his martyrdom, when he actually died because of the serious injuries he had sustained during the Holy Defense. So starting on Iranian New Year's Eve, he'd actually decided to visit all his relatives within the space of 1 week, because he knew that this was going to be the last chance to actually do that during this in that week of Iranian New Year's Eve, because he wasn't going to live to see another one. And, you know, and this is just a renewed emphasis for all of us. We do not have the guarantee that we're going to wake up tomorrow. So if there are things we need to be doing, being in touch with people, expressing to them our affection, our love, our closeness, then that is something we need to be doing maybe today, and not put things off, not procrastinate. And just remember the blessings that Allah has sent us with the friends and family we have today. So inshallah, this is just a reminder for all of us, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of 8:30 here on Iron Wings Radio, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
That was the week that was. Beyond the headlines, we dissect the stories that shaped the past 7 days, from the heart of region to the global stage. In the the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our political chat show, That Was the Week, That Was. We look at global politics and issues of the day, and I'm your host, Leila Garcia. With me here in the studio is veteran journalist and political commentator, Meron de Akhshand. Please stay tuned. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much indeed.
Today's discussion is about Donald Trump's suggestion that talks with the Venezuelan counterpart Nicolas Maduro could be on the table as the U.S. Navy's most advanced aircraft carrier arrives in the Caribbean Sea. The U.S. president spoke after Washington further upped the ante by announcing plans to designate as a terrorist group a cartel that it claims Nicolas Maduro runs. We may be having some discussions with Maduro, and we'll see how that turns out, Trump told reporters in Florida, adding they would like to talk. Pressed for more details, he replied, Venezuela would like to talk. What does it mean? You tell me. I don't know. I'll talk to anybody. Earlier Sunday, the U.S. State Department